suntan, a semester's worth of credits, and a mischievous twinkle in his eye. Surely I could make a stronger case for attending the oldest and arguably the finest university in Scotland. Anyway, I had a sound plan to present in my defense. I planned to use my time in Scotland to research a thesis. I still had to decide whether or not I wanted to write a thesis, and, if so, what I wanted to write about. I didn't actually have to make a final decision about doing one until well into my senior year, but the decision would make itself for me unless I began my research well in advance. And though I vaguely wanted to write about the history of golf, I knew I needed to come up with something specific, so it made sense to spend a year in St. Andrews. Not only would I receive excellent instruction from the university's strong history department, but I would also be in the best place to research my thesis. I would have one of the world's best museums and numerous archives on my chosen subject at hand, and many other resources within reach. How could anyone fail to see that a year in St. Andrews would actually be better for me than another year at Harvard? Where else would you go to study golf? I should have been beaming. My case was watertight. But as I sat before the chairman of the history department and tried to answer that all-important question, I was still afraid of being found out as a charlatan. There was something silly about telling a tenured, respected professor that the major achievement of your undergraduate career should be 100-odd written pages about golf. A proper thesis topic is something like, "The impact of the carpet mite upon the textile industry in Bruges between 1631 and 1634. My best idea was to analyze whether or not the PGA Championship should go back to the match play format. Of course, my stated reason for going to St. Andrews was a paper-thin facade. All I knew about the British Golf Museum was that it got lots of advertising on television during the British Open every summer. And I doubted I would even be writing a thesis. The university appealed to me because I had to take only 2 classes a semester and spend only 4 hours in the classroom every week to get a full year's worth of credits toward my college degree. That meant I'd have plenty of time to take advantage of this. As a resident of St. Andrews, I could buy a year's ticket good for unlimited play on all 6 of the town's golf courses, including the Old Course, the oldest and most famous 18 holes in the world, for £90, or around $150. $150 won't even get you around the front 9 at Pebble Beach. Once. The first time I looked at that figure in pounds sterling and converted it to dollars, I was sure that I'd miscalculated, or that the original figure was a typo. But it was indeed correct, and it made possible the year I actually wanted to spend in Scotland. My time in classrooms would be incidental to my real education on the Old Course, and other timeless courses throughout Scotland. Whatever I might have said to the history department, I'd always taken my golf far more seriously than my degree. I was the number 4 man on my high school golf team my senior year, and I had no real plans to play college golf, not so much for want of desire, but for a relative lack of talent. I didn't think my tournament average of just over 80 was good enough. But then my mother, who wanted me to choose Harvard over several other schools, told me that the Crimson practiced and played at the Country Club, Brookline, names that meant nothing to her, but everything to her son. I figured that all else being equal, even if I got cut from the team, I'd still get to play a couple of rounds at a 3-time U.S. Open venue. So I chose my college because of a golf course, made the team, forced my way into the playing squad with grit and determination, savored every afternoon I could spend among friends on 27 of the most sublime holes you could ever wish to play, and successfully avoided afternoon classes. I knew all about the Country Club, even before I arrived at Harvard, because my father had videotaped the final round and 18-hole playoff, Curtis Strange versus Nick Faldo, of the 1988 U.S. Open at Brookline. I'd watched the video many times, and I had many others like it. I literally wore out my tape of the 1986 Masters by the time I finished high school. Great major championships, studied and vicariously relived, provided a solidity to my golfing life that my own abilities did not. I hated practicing, but through natural ability, I'd shot in the low to mid-70s just